This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Mitchell Robinson will be on the ball, right will inbound. It's off to Brown. Bridge is there. They hold it.
High noon on a Wednesday, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com. Check out all his work there on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. Lots of good Celtics coverage throughout the postseason. Joe Mazzulla, all the players, game breakdowns afterwards with Mego. I saw after game one a loss for the Celtics, 108-105 in overtime, Terp. How are we feeling about the Celtics down 0-1?
I mean, I feel fine. I had them sweeping, so I feel all right after one loss. And I think if this loss came in game two or game three, we'd be talking about it a lot differently. It's the fact that it came in game one that people are kind of alarmed by it.
What about Mazzulla's reaction to the whole thing? Basically like, hey, we missed shots. We need to make shots. What a novel concept. Knicks made shots. We missed them. Like, is that what I mean? It's kind of a classic Mazzulla thing in many ways.
Yeah,
what about the most recent?
I feel like a lot of people, the issue with the 3-point shooting wasn't the volume, it was the quality of the shots. Like, they were taking a lot. I know the NBA tracking data suggested that most of them were open to wide open, but if, I mean, come on, we all watched the game. Those were not non-contested shots. Like, even that Drew Holiday one in the corner, like, that one automatically comes to mind. Jason Tatum forced one late in the fourth quarter. There were some contested shots in there. So I think more of it was to do with, though, like, the quality of them. Like, they took 30 pull-up threes. That's not a good sign.
Right. They were, yeah, it was not a ton of catch and shoot, you know, by their standards. It was a lot of pull-up three-point attempts, to your point. I personally have a problem with the volume. And if you're making them, if it's game one against New York, meaning of the regular season, the season opener against the Knicks, and you're 29 out of 61, well, go ahead and launch them. Like, it's going in. When it's not going in, and it's not going in really all night, from the first quarter to the halftime to most of the second half, they got a little hot in the third quarter, but largely they're not making their threes all night long. At some point, to me, the volume does become a problem, and that's my only critique of the Celtics. And when Mazzulla's like, oh, well, the Knicks just made them and we just missed them, he just assumes if they keep launching them sooner or later, they're going to go in. On some nights, game one, a prime example of it, that's not the case. I wish they just had a little more awareness of that.
Especially when they had guys in foul trouble for New York. They were getting downhill, getting to the free throw line, especially in the first quarter, too. That's what kept them in the game, was they were getting to the free throw line because they were not making any shots whatsoever.
Hart went out almost right away with two fouls. Brunson and Towns both had three by halftime.
And we talked all week about these mismatches that they have, and they really just didn't utilize him. And it's kind of obvious. Well, obviously the assist numbers won't be high when you're attacking mismatches because it's a lot of ISO ball. So that's why you see some of those pull-ups. But we've been talking about how easy it is to just blow by these guys, get them up in the post and all that. And they just didn't really take advantage of that. Like, I'm okay with the three-point attempts. They were 31-7 when they attempted 53s this year. Like, the three-point attempts is fine. The quantity is fine. It's the quality. When you're taking 30 of them, the ball's not really moving around. I mean, they've had two games this postseason when they've had 20 assists. They need to get the ball moving up. Like, that's when they're at their best, when the ball is hopping around. And, of course, They have two wins by double digits this postseason. Both of those were the 20-assist games.
What about the defense from the Celtics against the Knicks? Anything there?
I think that was actually the bigger problem in the second half. Like, guys were just over-helping. There was some breakdowns. Like, there was one in the third quarter where Jaylen Brown was just completely out of the play. OG Anunoby comes up and hits a three. And another thing we talked about this week is not letting the other guys beat you. All in all, until the fourth quarter, they did a great job with Jalen Brunson. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns. It's when you have OG Anunoby going for 30 points and Mikal Bridges making those different big those different difference makers. That's a big deal, and that's where the kind of the Celtics lost that game. All in all, like, they did a good job on Brunson and Towns. Like, you'll take those performances against them, but you can't be falling asleep on those other guys and letting them punish you. That's where the Celtics got into trouble.
You want to talk Celtics? You got questions for Terp? 617-779-7937. We do it every Wednesday at high noon. Pure Hoops talking Celtics here, so you can jump in with all your questions for Terp. I think the Celtics are ripe for an upset. And I started the show saying this, Terp. I look at the matchup, and I think the Celtics are going to win this series. I had it in six going in. That still feels about right to me. So I'm not picking the Knicks by any means. But if you just take a step back and you take the particulars out of it for a moment, I would say the Celtics are acting like a team whose crap doesn't stink. Their coach is more worried about getting into it with the media than he is about any adjustments in game two. Tatum was getting yelled at by Mazzulla earlier in the postseason. Miserable game one. Outside of the second half of game five, I don't know how many stretches they've played up to their potential in this postseason. They just feel like a team that has not impressed, despite only dropping two games to this point. Are they ripe for getting picked off at some point, perhaps as early as this series against New York?
I mean, if you look at their losses, their two postseason losses this season, it's hard to think that way. I mean, the first one against Orlando, they scored 11 points in the third quarter and 34 points in the second half and only lost by two points. It was a one-possession game. Game one against New York, they missed 45 three-point attempts, got nothing from Kristaps Porzingis. Jason Tatum went like a quarter and a half without scoring, and they couldn't make really any shots, and they still only lost by two in overtime. So it's hard to really think that way. I get it, like how they're coming out now and kind of talking. Like, I understand why you might think that, but look at their losses. Like, it's been extremes the games they've lost. So I think they have the reason to be confident.
But do you think they're playing well? Like, I just haven't, outside of, again, the second half where threes were falling of game five against Orlando, I don't think they played well.
No, I'd agree. I don't think we've seen the best version of this team whatsoever. I mean, Orlando, we talked about it. That was a tough matchup for them, but they did not play a good game against New York at all, and they were still able to hang around. So I think at times, like, you're right, the talent itself has just been carrying them, because we really haven't seen them put together a full game. I mean, even game one against Orlando, that game they were losing at the half, and in the game five against Orlando too, when they pulled away and had a double-digit win, that was close until the third quarter. So no, we haven't really seen them dominate from start to finish yet.
Well, it's funny, because not to let them off the hook for that, but I mean, Cleveland's down 0-2, and I know they have injuries. The Thunder are down 0-1, and they also, besides that one crazy blowout win they had in game one, I don't know if they've played their best, but they at least do have that one game they can hang their hat on.
In round two, a higher seed has yet to win a game.
Correct. Yeah, it's pretty wild. As for Kristaps Porzingis, we see him leave the game. Non-COVID illness, as we find out later. He's now probable for tonight. He missed a bunch of games for some unknown real reason.
I think it was eight games, yeah.
It was an eight-game stretch. Any more info on what's going on with Porzingis?
Seems to just be an illness. I thought he was going to play in the second half the other night. Yeah. He came out at halftime, was skipping around, was in the shot lines, warming up, looked like he was going to go, and then that was it. He didn't come back out. But they're going to need more from him. I mean, we talked about this, too, going into the series, that this was a good opportunity for Porzingis to bounce back. And he wasn't himself in the first half that he played in game one against New York either. He was 0-4, didn't attempt a three-point shot. And now, if you look at his averages, I mean, they kind of just tell the story. He's averaging 10 points. He's shooting 32% from the field. Like, 32% from the field is tough to do.
That's this playoff, or that's
this playoff?
Career.
This is, and those numbers aren't much better either. Rebounds, 5.5, one assist. Like, his numbers just aren't good enough. They're going to need him. We talked about it. They're going to need him to really go back-to-back and to win this thing, and he just hasn't been good enough.
Do you, even if he's available tonight, do you think he starts? Is there a way to, like, ease him in because he didn't finish game one? You could start Horford? Like, do you think even if he's available tonight, he's in the starting lineup.
I do think he'll start. I think that will be the case. I don't see them changing that. But, I mean, if this continues, you have to look at it as, like, maybe he would be better off coming off the bench. I mean, we had that conversation. That was really hot topic earlier in the season.
Because last year he came off the bench.
In game one.
It was
the best playoff game.
Yeah,
I mean, when he had that big game one run against Dallas. Right. If you look at Al Horford, like, he's been terrific on both ends of the floor. Defensively, it's going to be overlooked, but what he did in the fourth quarter and overtime in game one against New York was fantastic. His switchability against Orlando was great. The opponents are shooting like 34% against him this postseason. Yeah. So, yeah, Al's been great. You're going to want him on the floor for both ways. And at this point right now, Porzingis has been like a negative player on the floor. So maybe he could benefit from that kind of change, but I think the Celtics, I don't think they're going to make that move into tonight.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Lost in the loss was Drew Holiday, not only back, but was their best player.
He was great.
Like, he was the best player they had on the floor.
What, 5 offensive rebounds, was just making play after play. It was funny because when we were watching it, I was like, Al Horford and Drew Holiday have been the story. Like the elder statesman here, really carrying them down the stretch. And unfortunately, they lost, so those will be forgotten.
Let's mix in some calls with Terp. High noon every Wednesday, Pure Hoops, 617-779-7937. Matt is in Brighton. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to ask a question of you. What is the worst defeat in NBA playoff history?
The worst defeat?
The Lakers in Game 6 in 2008. I don't know.
Like the margin of victory?
Yeah, well, guess what? We're going to set the bar a little high tonight because the Celtics are going to demolish the Knicks tonight.
Okay.
So I think, did the Thunder actually set the record? At one point they had the biggest lead, I think, ever in game one against the Grizzlies.
Yeah, they were up like 50.
They had some insane.
No, it was up there last year. It was game 4 Celtics Mavericks. The game they lost was up there, and nobody will ever talk about it because it's obviously forgotten because they won the finals.
Largest margin of victory.
I remember
they
lost that game. They got smoked
bad. Yeah, it was the biggest margin of loss in an NBA finals game.
Huh. 2009. The Denver Nuggets defeated the New Orleans Hornets 121-63.
I don't know if they'll break that.
I don't know if they'll get that. Yeah. And then the Lakers in 1956 also had a game. So 58 points is the biggest.
Matt says lay the 60.
Who's going to win it? The Celtics. Because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the ball.
Fair.
Do you think, and we're all guilty of this.
Carmelo had 26 in that game.
Disrespecting the Knicks to a degree, right? Like they're soft, they're finesse, they're just head and shoulders a better offensive team than Orlando. They're a worse defensive team, and, you know, they're not as tough or physical. But do you think we all kind of overlooked, because we looked at it as the Pistons gagging away round one, do you think we all kind of overlooked the Knicks' ability to pull out some of these games late?
For sure, but they kind of earned it. They were 0-10 this year against Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City. And like you said, they probably should have lost that series against Detroit. So I think they've earned that, but you've seen, like, they're a good team down the stretch, mainly because of Jalen Brunson, obviously won the Clutch Player of the Year award. So they're a good team. They have two All-NBA players in Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. And every time we talk about those guys, it's kind of in a negative light because of their defensive liabilities and how the Celtics punished them, but we've shown, like, they've shown they can win them games.
Do you think they go back to the hack of Mitchell Robinson strategy tonight?
Yeah, which is obnoxious.
I kind of liked it. You know what? I felt bad for him a little bit, though, when Tibbs is telling him, like, intentionally follow Jrue Holiday so we can get you off the floor so they can stop intentionally fouling you. Like, that is embarrassing. That's
burn
brutal.
A foul on you so they stop
like, we're going to get you out of the game, so intentionally follow him.
What do you like about that?
I mean, it just that's a good way, I think, when you're playing with the lead to just, like, you know he's not going to make them. Like, if it's going to work.
Well,
like,
I would do it the other way. I would do it when you're behind and you need to steal possessions and get back into a game or the end of a quarter.
I mean, the way they look at it, though, every possession.
But I feel like it interrupts your flow of the game.
Yeah.
And the Celtics have such a good, like, when they're going, like, their offense is fun to watch.
But they
everybody
they didn't
touches it.
Have a flow. Like, they were missing all their shots in the first half.
No,
so,
that's true.
Look, what, you're already playing at a slow pace. Might as well.
But then it's also like, hey, let's get Mitchell Robinson off the floor, too. And you're like, okay.
He did burn a couple fouls there.
Yeah,
that was the thing, too.
For sure. And I just, what, you can't beat the Knicks straight up? Like, why do you got to resort to gimmicks? Oh, that's a good point by the Twitch chat. Dark and stormy nights. That's not pure hoops term. That's true.
That is not pure hoops.
Certainly not ethical hoops.
Hack a Mitchell Robinson is not,
that's not
pure hoops. I think it's decidedly not. Tim is in Springfield. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, my only concern is analytics and momentum. It just seems that they don't switch gears. If, you know, they're just going to keep trying to knock three-pointers down, and I don't know if there's a game plan to say, hey, this isn't working. We need to shift gears here. And as the series go on, let's say they go to the next round, someone's just going to figure it out. These guys are just going to keep throwing threes. So we're just going to keep coming up and hammering them, and let's see what happens.
Okay. What's the over-under on threes tonight? We set it at 60 earlier, Terp.
Put it at 50. We'll put it at 50. I think it'll be down. I think it will be down because they will have a more
50 for them is like
concentrated effort getting
gun shy. Yeah,
but it also could be one of those things where if they end up blowing them out, you kind of milk the clock a little bit in the fourth quarter. You have like your scrubs are in.
They blew them out in the season opener. They shot
61. And those guys still. I mean, if Peyton Pritchard's still out,
but
there,
how many
he's
did they take in the fourth
away.
Quarter there? Because they were purposely
they were going
for the record
the
there,
record, yeah.
And they missed like. All of them in the final 7 minutes because there's no reason they shouldn't have broke it. They were missing wide open shots, kind of similar to game one.
True. Yeah, I think it's the over. I think they're going to take a ton. I think they're going to make way more than 15.
Yeah,
so
I'll take the over.
Shooting.
I'll take the over on 50 for sure.
Yeah.
I think I'd take the over on 60.
New York does deserve credit though for the way they stopped Boston from driving. Like when even the Celtics driving later in the game, a lot of their turnovers came on their drives. Their wings did a really good job of being physical and cutting off those lanes.
Look, I do feel this way. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about Brunson and Towns, and those are really bad matchups for New York. Like the Celtics can exploit
those.
Other
guys can defend.
Anunoby and Hart.
Yeah,
and I was mildly impressed with Bridges. We dumped on him a lot going in. Like, those other two, though, those guys are stout defenders. Those guys are, I mean, they would fit in on Orlando last round. Like, so I think we probably overlooked those guys to a degree. They took away some of that from the Celtics for sure in game one. Is tonight, our good friend Kendrick Perkins said this yesterday, is tonight a must-win for the Celtics turn?
It's about as big of a must-win that this iteration of the Celtics have seen. Obviously, they haven't been behind in a series since 2023. So I don't know if it's necessarily a must-win because, again, there is such disparity between these two teams.
It's not a must-win.
But it's a big game.
But I like
for
the biggest game. Spinning it on that way. Is it the biggest game that this group has played?
Is it the biggest
that
game?
The Porzingis and Holiday
Celtics.
These
2 years.
Obviously, year before, they played
some
big ones.
No,
they
you did. Said it. This iteration, maybe.
The last 2 years, probably. They've never been down in a series.
You get nervous. I forgot how badly they got whooped in game four of the NBA Finals. You get nervous at all when they were up 3-0 and got smoked going into that game five coming back to the Garden?
No.
I was a little
when they
nervous.
Were up 3-0?
No, after they lost game four. I felt like that game... No. I felt like that game five closing out the NBA Finals was important for them.
No, I wasn't.
You think this is more important than that? I think that's more important.
You still had a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, but I was nervous about that group closing, to be honest. I was still nervous.
Kyrie
really?
In their head. Well, they hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, they hadn't.
After the way they closed against Indy, though?
Closed against Indy. It was a sweep.
Yeah, and they were very close to being down 3-1 in that
Indy
series.
Played them close.
That was the toughest series they played.
Okay, sweep,
but they closed every close game
sweep.
In that series.
No, they closed some games. No, I don't disagree. They closed some games, but when they were up 3-0, they didn't blow a lead.
You really thought they were going to become – that team was going to become the first team in NBA history to blow a 3-0 lead?
I think closing out the NBA Finals was a bigger game than this one. Yes.
No.
Yes.
I mean, I guess in the grand scheme, like it's the NBA Finals, but like there was no concern that they were going to lose that series.
You're losing two home games and being down 0-2 to the Knicks versus being down 3-2, I guess in that case, to the Mavericks.
Yeah. and going back to Dallas, I didn't want that.
Would you be more nervous if they were down 3-2 to Dallas or down 2-0 to New York?
I'm saying, I just answered that. 3-2. Yeah, I'd be more nervous 3-2 to Dallas dropping those last two. Yeah,
that might be more respect too, to Kyrie and Luka. Than it is to these guys.
I mean, I don't think it's a must win at all. I think if they go down 0-2, they can go to New York and win the next two.
I'm with you. I picked a sweep, so they can win 4 or 5, yes.
They should.
What do you think of the other series?
That Pacers team, we were talking about them all year. They're a good team.
They are.
And they gave a lot of teams trouble. They were down 0-2 last year to
New
York.
Playoff Nembhard.
Yeah, playoff Nembhard. Halliburton's been great. He's really leaning into that overrated thing.
Seriously.
Like 12 players rated voted the most overrated.
Shaq came out and was like, he's not overrated, right? On the TNT, they were talking about it. He's like, guys, he's not overrated.
That team's good.
Properly rated.
I don't think Cleveland can use the excuse that they didn't have any of their guys because they led by 20 and had a 7-point lead with under 53 seconds.
If they lose the series, they'll point to that, but you're right. In that game, they should have won the game.
Yeah, I mean, in the series. And they missed Garland tremendously in game one. But you also had a 20-point lead and a 7-point lead, and then you allowed two offensive rebounds.
Yeah, that's rough.
You threw the ball away on an inbounds. Like, that can't happen. You mean to tell me out of all the guys on the roster, nobody can inbound the basketball?
Yeah,
like, that's a little ridiculous.
That's bad.
Curry's injury? How concerning is that?
I mean, we were just talking about it with Drew Holiday, right? Like an older 34-year-old who was dealing with something. Now Curry's a little bit older than Drew Holiday, dealing with the hamstring, and obviously they're going to need him. I don't think Minnesota matches up well against Golden State anyway, and they have other guys that I think Golden State could get through that series without him. But if they want to challenge either Denver or Oklahoma City, they're definitely going to need Steph Curry.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, that is Pure Hoops with Terp. High noon every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. You got full coverage tonight, game two?
Yes, sir.
What can we expect? We got stand-ups with Mego. We got all the social media videos and everything out there.
All of it, yeah.
Write-ups. Terp stays up until like 5 in the morning.
He's up all night.
Games.
Seriously.
He's up grinding away.
Uh-huh.
For the love of hoops.
Make
That's
sure.
It. That is the
most man,
pure.
The man loves the purest of pure hoops and hacking Mitchell Robinson.
Yep.
So you can follow him on social media at Justin M. Terp and for all your Celtics coverage there. Terp, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, guys.
Thanks, sir.
That's Pure Hoops with Terp.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.